Hello everyone and welcome to the EdTech podcast. This week, a shout out to those people who filled in the Hello Listeners form, including Anne Fisher, a teacher from Berlin, and Wes Fryer, who is Director of Technology at Cassidy School in Oklahoma. Wes runs the awesome At the Speed of Creativity podcast, which you should definitely check out. It turns out some of you listen in the car, sat on the train, in the comfort of your own home. And Anne wrote a very nice message to say, keep going with teachers who are revolutionising and inspiring the industry. It is pretty motivational. Going on to say how she messaged the Joe Dell episode to a colleague as a source of inspiration in languages as she was developing in that area. So thanks, Anne, and keep in touch with how your courses for Erasmus are going. In terms of areas you'd like more of, the 60-second EdTech industry roundup, looking at investment, mergers, acquisitions and that kind of thing was quite popular, and episodes on women in EdTech and digital learners, i.e. students specifically, came up top. So I look forward to bringing you more on those areas in the coming weeks. If you'd like to share your story with the rest of the EdTech podcast community, you can still fill in your shout out on the Hello Listeners form, which is available on Twitter at Podcast EdTech, or tweet me directly. This week, you can also send me the questions you'd most like to ask ICT evangelist Mark Anderson, the CEO of JISC and AI and Education Professor Rose Lukin from UCL. So tweet your questions, have a think about what's the most burning question you'd like to address to these different interviewees, and you can tweet these to me directly at Podcast EdTech or email me at theedtechpodcast@gmail.com. And now, back to listening to more of those educator stories with Mark Martin, aka The Urban Teacher. So I'm sat here with Urban Teacher, aka Mark Martin, and we've been trying to find somewhere to record this podcast. It was a bit like Goldilocks, so the Dalston Library was too quiet, the cafe was too noisy, so we've ended up in a burger bar, which I think is a good compromise.
Yeah.
So Mark, do you want to kick off just by letting everyone know like who you are, what you do?
So my name is Mark Martin. I've been teaching for the last 10 years in secondary school education. My subject that I've been teaching is computer science. And during that 10 years, I've just been really passionate how do we kind of connect our young people to what's happening in the industry, and especially around this tech movement where we've seen it evolve in the last few years. So alongside teaching ICT or computing, what it's called now, I've been heavily involved in seeing what's happening in this industry and how can we connect it back to what's happening in schools.
And so you currently work at Sydenham High School?
Yes, I'm currently working at Sydenham High School, GDST school, so it's an independent school for girls.
And but also you have roles within Microsoft and Tech City UK.
Yeah, so apart from being a classroom teacher, I think it was 2 years ago when I trained to become a Microsoft expert teacher. And in this funny, in the same year, I also became a Google expert teacher. So I think I was an expert teacher for a lot of different organisations. And that was just solely out of the fact that I just really wanted to upskill myself and to be current for my students to actually see what's happening in this industry.
In terms of your journey and where you've come, and obviously, you know, you get a huge amount of exposure now, you get a massive amount of traction in terms of people interested in what you're doing and the kind of ideas that you're pioneering. How did that all begin when you were sort of teaching? How did you go from teaching to having this following that you have
now? So I think this happened about 5 years ago. I was given the responsibility in a school to manage the virtual learning environment. So I had to get 70 teachers that were probably not tech savvy to use a system that was really complex to use. And I thought it was going to be one of the easiest jobs ever to get teachers on board with this technology. But I, for some reason, they weren't receiving it as I expected. So what happened then was is that I had to think of strategies of how to get more teachers on board using this technology. Also, how do we get the whole probably 800 young people to use it too? And I think that was my first kind of encounter to probably teaching it to actually kind of deploying it to a huge range of people. And I think that once I was able to kind of capture those stuff with my innovative ideas of changing this VLE into kind of like a social media kind of outlet, putting, making, giving young people some of the things that they're into in terms of kind of videos and interaction, I think then that was my kind of birth into this whole kind of industry, into edtech.
And you also mentioned that you sort of saw what was going on in Tech City, and you know, you were keen to make sure that some of those innovations and ideas actually came into the classroom and had the chance to be sort of sense tested with the end user, which is ultimately the student.
Yeah, so one of the things that I realised when I was doing this whole kind of movement in technology in my own practice, I felt that there was a disconnection between what was happening in industry and what was happening in my classroom. And it was funny, I went to a few technology meetups down in Shoreditch at the beginning. This was about probably, yeah, 5 years ago, when it was really birthing this kind of tech thing that was happening in London. And there was a lot of companies there talking about how can we get our technology into schools. And I felt that my young people had a lack of awareness of what was happening on their doorstep. So where these companies were talking about we need to get into schools, and my young people and also teachers within the school didn't know what was happening, I thought this was a perfect marriage. So what I started to do is invite some of these tech companies in to test the latest products with our young people. And what was really funny is that a lot of these tech companies thought they had the best technology ever. They had the silver bullet to education.
Of course they did.
So I think after a while, my students would probably rip half of their products to pieces. And it was a great experience for the tech company, but also for my young people, because one of the things that really touched me is when young people said, "Sir, I think I can actually do this." And I felt that by actually developing that conversation with my young people to actually think that they can actually create a tech product, they can get involved in the tech scene, I think we was able to break down some barriers in terms of the misconceptions of, like, is it accessible for girls? Is it accessible for people coming from ethnic backgrounds? So this is one of the things that really inspired me to kind of push through with this edtech movement.
And what, you know, are some of the most memorable experiences that have happened since those early days of connecting with Tech City, like for you and for your schools and for your students?
So one of the things that was really fascinating is that I had a lot of students that were coding computer games at home and setting up their own YouTube channels. And for me as a teacher, I had to kind of take time out to actually see what this was all about, because they used to say that, "Sir, we're doing Minecraft, sir, we're doing these FIFA tournaments online." And until I tapped in and checked out their YouTube channels, I was amazed, because some of the stuff that they had put together, you know, you think that's a publishing company or some kind of visual publishing company.
And are there any YouTube channels of your students that you'd like to name drop now?
I think that some of my students would probably chase me, but I think they're still developing it. But one of the good things with those YouTube channels is that some of them had 4,000 followers.
Yeah.
There was one seven student, 11-year-old, came into me and said, "Sir, I've got 1 million views online." And I was like, my goodness, as a teacher, how do I keep up and channel that? So that's why that was one of my real kind of passion, is to get those top tech companies in to try and nurture some of these young people. And I think that as a teacher, I wasn't frightened of asking for help. And I think that in this digital space, it moves so quickly, sometimes you do need to ask for help to plug these young people in. So an example is that we was able to bring Code Academy, a representative from Code Academy, that's probably got over probably 24, I think the last that I heard is 50 million followers online, to come in and to talk to young people about technology. And since that happened, I think my young people came in and they just had a different expectation of technology for the school and for themselves.
Wow. that reminds me of Jamal Edwards. Do you know his story? Yeah, so that's quite a good one. And then, so within Tech City, so then you also acted as a mentor. So what was that all about as well?
So Tech City UK set up Digital Business Academy, and they were really kind of helping people to get into that kind of startup space. And it's funny, how I fell into this startup space was exactly the same thing of inviting those startups into my school. And with these startups, I saw so many issues with their technology, the way they was running their company, and just having that kind of IT and business background as a teacher, I was able to give some really solid advice. And I think that that was picked up by Tech City UK. So I became a mentor for Digital Business Academy, where we was able to help and mentor people with great tech ideas and getting it off the ground. So I've been doing it for the last 2 years now. I think I've mentored over 18 startups. And I think...
Have you got any shares in those?
Oh, I would love to have shares. But for me... it was all about how can we kind of develop them and so on. Probably in the future, if I think about kind of investment and being an investor, I might think about shares. But I think for me, I was privileged in the place of actually supporting these startups.
So I guess one of the things that people always want to know about is, you know, because you're always looking around at what tools are available and what apps, you know, is there anything at the moment that's out there that you're getting really excited about in terms of, I know you've worked with Prezi before and stuff like that. Are there communication tools or apps or free resources that you're really loving at the moment?
Yeah, so one of the things that I'm really excited about is this BBC Microbit that was launched last year this time, but it's been really phased out now in the year 2016. And I think that this is going to probably create a generation of young people that's able to program a pocketable computer in a very quick fashion. And I think that that's going to be a real game changer to plant a seed for many young people, especially at my school and schools around the UK, of programming, coding, and actually this whole thing around the Internet of Things. Because I think that the real kind of game changer for me, and the things that I really get excited about, is this Internet of Things movement. And I think that that technology there, in the sense of, you know, your whole environment interacting around you as a teacher or a learner, I think that's going to really be the real game changer.
What I enjoy as well on your feed is, I know you always put these inspirational quotes out. So, you know, if you happen to be on Twitter at the time, you end up leaving feeling really good about your day. You know, who inspires you or who has inspired you?
Yeah, I think I get inspiration from everywhere, from religion all the way through to seeing a smile on young people's face. And one of the things that that's really... I've really been privileged to experience is, how do you become a teacher that probably is scared of their practice to someone that's really become an expert and inspiring other teachers? And I think that if you can go through that transition and you've been there, I always have flashbacks to those stages that probably where I did struggle in teaching and what kind of got me out of that. So having those quotes online and throwing them out every day is probably helping people from the UK to all around the world. And it's funny that I do get people saying thank you, that quote there has probably changed my day, changed my practice, and that's rewarding. I think that kind of encouraging me to keep on doing it, to kind of raise their aspirations in the profession.
And what excites you and worries you about the future?
I think what excites me about the future is that now the internet has probably broken down so many barriers to information, to be innovative and creative. And we now live in an age where there's not too many excuses not to do anything you want, because everything is online. And it's not like you've got to pay huge amounts of money. You can actually access some of these resources for free. So I think that's going to be a real game changer and level the way we kind of use and do education. Probably one of the things that I do fear is, on the other hand, is the restriction of these types of platforms and, filters, blockers, and all of these kind of things that affect creativity and innovation. So that's one of the things that I kind of talk about in my EdTech speeches, that, okay, we love the creative movement, but with all these restrictions coming into place, how innovative do you want us to be in this era?
And I know that part of your role of sharing this knowledge and is travelling around the world and essentially speaking. And you mentioned that you've actually just been to Serbia, is that right?
Yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit about what you were doing there and how you found or how you have found countries' position in EdTech?
So I think that at the moment, I think UK is one of the kind of front runners for EdTech. And I think that countries in Europe and around the world are really interested in what's happening here. So I got a call from the British Council to speak at a conference in Serbia, New Technologies. And this was all about how do we kind of inspire teachers that have probably traditionally stuck to the basics, and how do we kind of get them to think about what are the new kind of things in technology that they can implement into the classroom. So my two keynotes was based upon gamification. So can games be that thing where we inspire young people? Can we gamify learning? And the second one was all about kind of raising that aspiration of you can use edtech in your lessons, and whether it's mobile phones or laptops or tablets, it's about how can we incorporate some of these new technologies to change the traditional way of teaching, because some of them do work and some of them at the moment we're still doing a lot of research to see if, you know, whether a tablet does improve a young people's learning. So going over to Serbia and meeting the education system over there, it was a real eye-opener, because some of the things that we do take for granted in the UK, you know, is non-existent in those countries. Mm. And I think that one, it could be seen as a great thing, because now they're now waking into the fact that edtech is the future, and people like yourself, where you're doing these types of podcasts, is shining a light upon that, and it's about raising that awareness.
And for the best to come out of edtech, what do you think are the, you know, absolute essentials to enable that within a classroom environment? So for example, you know, is it Wi-Fi? Is it the school investing in tablets? Is it, you know, the mindset of the educators and the you know, appetite from the students? Like what would be the perfect mix of those things?
I think it's the ecosystem and community involved. I think over the last probably 6 to 8 months, this profit thing around edtech is probably the thing that's the corrosive, or that's kind of poisoning the whole beauty of this edtech movement, because I think that a lot of people are coming into it for profit now. Mm. And not looking at the real issues of, does it really impact on a child's learning? Can it move a child who was at a C to an A? And I think that one of the things that we just need to be really careful about is that it's the way we position it. And I think that at the moment, there are still passionate people within that system and within the community and ecosystem. And when I talk about ecosystem, it's about from a teacher using the product all the way through to a tech company actually launching a product. So it's about how can we have a consistency on and the same message around this edtech piece.
No, that totally makes sense. I think, you know, there's been quite a lot about whether 2016 is the year of edtech, and probably 2017 will be the year of edtech as well. So it's good to kind of remind ourselves of like what the main focus is here. So before we started recording, you were telling me about both South by Southwest Edu and your visit to the Microsoft, I suppose, actual factory where they manufacture some of their goods. Can you tell us a little bit about that again?
Yeah, so I was awarded with the Microsoft Innovative Expert Award, and that allowed me to be shortlisted from the UK as a representative with five other of my colleagues in the UK to go out to Microsoft Redmond. And that's when we met 500 teachers from 57 different countries, I think it was. So it was a great experience to see what's happening in edtech from a war-torn country all the way through to a country that's got everything. And for me, it was a great experience because, one, we saw that some of the issues that I have in my classroom is totally different to someone who's, you know, coming from a rural country where the internet goes out every 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So when we talk about edtech is so broad, but for some countries, you know, they use mobile phones to deliver lessons. And I was really privileged the other week to be helping teachers in Tanzania through WhatsApp and Skype. So I'm teaching them through basic technology. So when that whole experience of Microsoft really enlightened me to think about in terms of edtech on a global scale, and also seeing where technology plays a part in that, because I still think that technology is the future, and I don't know if it's by 2020 or 2030, but I think that the more we have EdTech and the growth of EdTech, we're going to depend on it more and more to deliver basic stuff. And it was really interesting that being in Microsoft and looking at their whole ecosystem is that they're really focused on getting early adoption, so getting young people into their products, training teachers to use their products. And also I think that they've got an outward approach now where, you know, with even within their products, you can you know, you can collaborate with some of the stuff that's happening in Google and some of the stuff that's happening in Apple and so forth. So
most it's a bit more integrated.
Yeah, it's a bit more integrated. And a prime example of that would be the OneNote, where it's a fantastic tool, can be used on any type of device. And it's kind of pushing that way of thinking about the traditional textbook into a digital textbook.
And you know, the actual, I suppose there's the equivalent of, you know, wherein Samsung has their huge city in Korea. You were saying that, in South Korea, sorry, in that you were saying that, that there's this huge Microsoft city as well that you've
visited. Yeah, one thing, when I came off the plane, I was just shocked with it all in the sense that I saw Microsoft logos on every single building. And then when I went to the campus and saw this, like, 63 buildings, and one building was, like, Microsoft Word, and one building was Xbox, and one building was, like, a range of different products that they're actually delivering. And you know, having those life chance experiences to actually experience that kind of empowers you as a teacher to think that what I'm doing in the classroom is so much greater and has so much, it's going to have so much impact on these young people's lives that I need to get it right. And having that experience of going out to Redmond and experiencing all of the tech that's happening in innovation and creativity kind of empowers me to come back and to be more enthusiastic of what's happening in my classroom.
And what was your own experience of education like? Where was that?
So my experience of education was, it was really funny actually, because in school I would love playing games and chess games, because back then we didn't have the internet, so we had the pre-installed chess games and we would play chess with our friends. And then after that kind of ran out the whole chess phase, I got into HTML because I had a music band at the time and we wanted to get our gigs out. So I started to develop stuff on I think it was Lycos.
What was your band called?
The Subtle Crew. That's what it was called. I don't know why
that's
we're
amazing.
Even though we're supposed to be banding out there in people's face, we want to be called the Subtle Crew. So
very suave.
I think it was probably a kind of trendy name back then. But that's what kind of gave me a reason to get into technology, because we had to create a web page. We needed to get our gigs out there. And that kind of is reflected in now in young people. Young people don't use tech for the sake of it, they use it for a purpose. So just like my students making these YouTube channels, they're not making it for the fact that, oh, I'm trying to be creative, I'm trying to get my my latest game moves to the rest of the world and to see how cool I am playing these kind of games. So that was the kind of thing with when I was growing up around the whole technology experience.
And kids now, they watch more YouTube than like grid TV or, you know, traditional TV.
And this is really scary for a teacher, because you can get a student who will learn everything online that probably then wasn't taught in my university degree. So you're getting more young people that are more tech savvy than me, because they're learning stuff that, you know, is the future. And when I was learning stuff in university, you know, it was more like the whole kind of traditional Stone Age stuff. And even now, young people in university, when they get to year three, some of the stuff that they're learning year one is obsolete because of the way the technologies move so quick.
Do you think that has implications for the higher education and further education sector?
Yeah, so I've seen it recently now with the further and higher education sector. They're now starting to get companies and get young people employable from the get-go. Because I think 3 years is a long time in this digital age now. And I think that it's really important for the higher sector to really think about how can they make their courses more relevant for these young people so that they're employable and that their skills that they've learned in year one is still relevant in the year 2020.
Absolutely. So I have a few more questions. The first one is, could you describe an amazing day teaching and an awful day teaching?
Yeah, I think an amazing day of teaching is when everything goes wrong.
Oh, I love that.
Some people might think I'm crazy, but I've learnt the most when my lessons have never gone to plan, because that's kind of strengthened me and kind of given me new ideas and new ways to actually approach that. A good day of teaching is marking all your books on time and making sure that all the kids pass the exams, because obviously we know that in this education system currently it's all about testing and grading and monitoring and keeping top of young people. Because with the performance related pay and all of this kind of stress that you have, it's about making sure that all of those boxes are ticked, you know. So
and do you use anything to sort of make those processes more efficient? So for example, marking, or, you know, do you use anything to sort of help you with that? Or is it a case of like the old school way of getting the red pen
well,
out?
It's funny. I use a lot of like VLE systems, whether it's Google Classroom or Microsoft 365. We use those online systems now, where young people can upload work to you.
Yeah.
I know in some schools they don't even let young people write the homework in their planners. They do it on Show My Homework. So again, young people can quickly, you know, see what's happening with the homework. Parents get to see it, and so on. So there are technologies that are reducing the workload, but I don't think you can ever get away from, you know, the whole feedback route, whether it's using the pen or verbal, and so on.
And you know, you have an amazing energy, which I think is probably a huge part of, you know, what's brought you on this journey. So for other educators out there who, you know, it is hard. Yeah. There's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of stress. There's a lot to fit in. How do you keep energized? And, you know, do you have any tips to share on that side as well?
Yeah, I think what keeps me energized is that there's always something to learn. And there's always something to get rid of in terms of a mindset. And I think that that fascination for me, that there's always something out there to learn, is exciting. Because it's funny, because I've been trying to teach myself programming and coding to learn a range of different languages. But where there's a new language or a new kind of tool coming out, I never ever get to master that particular tool, because I'm always trying to learn something new. So I think sometimes that can be a blessing and curse, in the sense that I'm always trying to learn and you're always trying to juggle a different type of skill and tool. But one of the things that does motivate me is that, as I said, with technology, there's hope. You know, there's hope to break down some of the equality barriers. There's hope in the sense that, you know, one of my students might be in my classroom, might be the next Mark Zuckerberg. And
it might be you.
Oh, no. I think I've still got a few more ideas to write down on a paper and to work out, but no, I think I would love to be someone who's mentoring Mark Zuckerberg than anything as a teacher.
Excellent. And just very finally, how do you keep up on all of these innovations? So for example, are there any websites, are there events, or, you know, Twitter followers, Twitter handles that you follow? How do you keep, which are your kind of top three to...
Yeah, so my top tips around keeping on top of this ed tech is, one, check out some of the, I don't know if they do them still, RSS news feeds. So it's about, can you set up an RSS news feed via your emails? Create lists on Twitter. So I got a lot of Twitter lists that I follow. So I would make one for ed tech. I would make one for new technology, tech news, and so on, and read them once a day, because I think that on Twitter, if you follow everyone and anybody, you're going to get a timeline that's very confusing. And I think that it's really key that you separate that timeline to make it work for you. And that's why I think I've been so efficient using Twitter, because I use the different lists and I tap into the different timelines when I need to. Another thing is that now we're in the social media age, is to ask. You know, this, as I said before, the internet breaks down the barrier of connecting with someone, just like I've connected with you today. We've just done it very quickly over email, and look, we've made it happen. So I think that the whole thing of getting out there, reaching out to different events, seeing where it's happening, and keeping those social media feeds, what's directed to technology, I think that will keep you ahead of the curve.
So, Mark, how can people keep in touch with what you're doing? What's your Twitter handle?
Yeah, so my Twitter handle is... @urban_teacher. I've got a website, www.urbanteacher.co.uk, and I've also got a YouTube channel if you want to see that too. So that's all you got to do is type in Urban Teacher TV into YouTube, and then you'll see me pop up.
Wonderful. So it's been great to meet you today, and thanks very much.
Thank you.
That's all for this week. Check us out on Facebook, rate and review on iTunes, and see you next time. Bye.